Hello and welcome to the Besotted Geek. I am Stork, but I'd rather be Rosario Dawson. We haven't used her yet, right? Sure. Speaking of which, let's get into the box office. This is for the weekend of July 20th through 30th. Coming in at first, again, Barbie made another $93 million for a total of $351 out 2 weeks. Holy shit, that is a big hit. In this day and age, that is huge. So I'm shocked because I feel like this is a very movie for a very specific person, but I guess I'm wrong. Or else that specific person is dragging their significant other to it, or they're seeing it over and over again. I don't know. I guess it could be considered kind of a kid's movie to a certain extent. Do little girls still play with Barbies? I don't know. So, yeah, I guess you could see it from that point. Plus, older women probably like to go see it. Plus, it's a comedy. It looks fun. Margot Robbie's a big draw. So is what's-his-nuts, Ken. That guy. So, I'm having trouble with names today. Sorry. But, yeah, that's pretty big. $350 in 2 weeks. And coming in second, again, Oppenheimer in its second week. And in second place for the second week, $46 million for $174. Very respectable for a drama. Christopher Nolan-backed drama, of course, but still, I think that's a great take. Coming in third in its debut, Haunted Mansion, only $24 million. I think it's just because Barbie's dominating. That has something to do with it. Bad timing, I would say. But bad timing again because it's should have been released in October. I'm sorry. It's just dumb to put out a spooky movie in the summer unless their plan is to release it on Disney Plus in October after it's been in the theaters. I don't know. That seems kind of stupid to me. I would try and make the money in the theater during the Halloween season, but that's just me. Coming in fourth, Sound of Freedom made another $12 million for $149, finally slowing down a bit. Fifth, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, $10 million for $139. Not great. Six, Talk to Me, made $10 million. It's from A24. Is that like the horror studio, one of the horror studios, like a Blumhouse type thing? I think. Maybe it's the ghost of Goose coming to haunt Maverick. Talk to me. Or I guess that would be Maverick, but that's Maverick's line. But maybe he's using his line against him. I don't know. I have no idea what it is. Seventh is Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny. Another $3 million for $167. Also disappointing. Elemental comes in eighth for $3 million for $145. Ninth, Insidious the Red Door, $3 million for $78 million total. That's pretty good for Insidious, I think. I think they'd probably, well, they'd love to get to that $100 million mark, but that's kind of big for a horror movie, is getting to $100 million, I would think. So they're inching their way up there. I don't think they'll get there, but still close. And 10th, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse still made another $1 million for $378. So that rounds out our top 10. I do have a getting to know you this week. Last week I got to go to two doctors, the dentist, which the hygienist said I was doing a very good job with my teeth. So that was nice. Usually she spends a little time with the scraper, the metal hook scraper thing, scraping off the tartar. And I haven't had a cavity since I was a kid, though, so I do take pretty good care of my teeth. I brush them twice a day. I think that's all it takes, if you actually pay attention while you're doing it. I never floss. Unless I have something stuck, I rarely floss. So, yeah, that was good. And then I went to the eye doctor, a little more disappointing on that front. She's been teasing me for years about it, but I actually have to get bifocals. So, yeah, official old man status, because I just can't read things, especially at night. I like to read some manga before bed, and sometimes the print is really tiny. The word balloons are pretty good, but then they'll have like little print beneath the word balloons and stuff that's just like kind of like asides the characters make, and I'm always taking my glasses off and bringing the book up to my nose. So hopefully this will help with that. As far as, yeah, contacts, I was like, well, what do you do about that? Because they don't make bifocal contacts, I don't think. And she ended up lowering one eye So I, and keeping one the other way, so I can kind of balance between near and far. I apparently they kind of help correct them and get the best of both worlds a little bit. So we'll see how that happens. But yeah, just the whole fact that I need bifocals, it's pretty depressing. But yeah, I've got worse things on the horizon with the colonoscopy I have to schedule soon. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on to new stuff watched. Strange New Worlds, and shout out to Pittsburgh Nerd for letting me in on this secret that they actually had an episode out on Thursday as well, because I just watched the Lower Decks one first, and then we caught up with the other one last night. And I'll start with that. Those Old Scientists, TOS, fun little play on that. And it was a fun little episode. I really enjoyed it. I think you kind of have to have watched Lower Decks to really appreciate it, but it was good. It was also just like a time travel-y Star Trek episode, but not deep or anything like that. And I thought that the actors doing the live action stuff did a really good job of performing their animated characters in 3D, for lack of a better term. We've seen Jack Quaid before in The Boys, and a couple other things. Wasn't he a Scream movie? Wasn't he one in Scream 5, I think? So, yeah, I've seen him acting before, and he did a good job as Boimler in The Real World. And I can't remember who plays Mariner. I want to say it's something like Tawny Newsome, but I'm not 100% on that. And I don't think I've seen her in anything live action, and I think she did a really good job too. And yeah, it was just a light, fun episode. And I had it built up really high because I was very excited for it. Did it meet my expectations? I don't know. But it didn't suck either. And I think it could have. I think it was really good. So kudos to that. I hope they do more of that somehow. Crossovers. I think they're fun. So then we had another shout out to Pittsburgh Nerd for calling episode 2.8 Under the Cloak of War. Again, reminding me or letting me in on it, the fact that it was out already, and calling it the best, one of the best episodes of television that he's ever seen. This is Sean from Pittsburgh Nerd. I'm going to say you got to watch more TV, and I know you watch a lot. It was good, but it's not even one of the best Star Trek episodes, so I was a little underwhelmed because of that glowing review that I had heard. I took it with a grain of salt because our tastes differ, but it was still a very good episode and a good, I don't know, cleansing of the palate from the previous light episode. This is a very dark episode dealing a lot with PTSD. Great episode for the doctor and Nurse Chapel. Some Klingon stuff in there, which is always fun. I think what this show is doing that Discovery hasn't in four seasons is really getting you to like the characters and the side characters, especially. Like, Pike is the entryway, Spock is the entryway, but man, these side characters are so well done and interesting. Even Uhura, to an extent, is like an entry point. But God, I love the pilot. I love the doctor. Nurse Chapel, again, an older, reused character, but much more fleshed out. And yeah, it just does it so. In 15 episodes, me and Peacock were talking about this. Like, if someone told me this is my favorite doctor in all of Star Trek, I wouldn't bat an eye. It might be mine. He's so good. Again, the pilot, number one, hasn't had a ton to do, but Rebecca Romijn's really good. So yeah, it's just a really good Star Trek show. In 15 episodes or so, whatever, it's done more than some of the other ones have done in seasons, multiple 20 episode seasons. So yeah, I can't say enough about it. The next one is the musical, I hear. So we're going back to some brevity or some, not brevity, some lightness, lightheartedness, probably. I don't know. Maybe it's like an opera, a dark musical, but we shall see. I'm a little trepidatious about it, even though I'm a big musical, not a big musical fan, I guess, but I'm a fan of the genre. I can sit through a musical and enjoy it. So I think it'll be fun because it lets them do something different. And whenever they take risks and let the actors have fun, it really shines through to me in certain episodes, especially things where, and the show hasn't been on long, I get that, but if you're playing the same character over and over again, whenever you get to do something different with it or twist it, I think you can see the actors having fun, and that makes it fun to watch. And they did it in, like, Next Generation, and even way back in TOS, whenever Kirk and Spock and McCoy were on the gangster planet. It's different. They get to act like 30s gangsters and goof around, and you can see they're having fun, so it makes it fun to watch. So I'm expecting that from the episode. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's not cringe. That's another thing. This show rarely gets cringe or cheesy, and I can't say that about a lot of other Star Trek shows. That's part of the charm for a lot of them, but I don't know, in the moment when you're watching it, you don't want that. When you look back, you can kind of appreciate it more, if that makes any sense. But also, I watched Secret Invasion, the final episode, 1.6, Home is what it was called. I guess it was an okay ending. I don't know what I was expecting. It just left me, I guess the best way to say it is, left me a little hollow. Like, I just don't know that we got much from this show. The previews, the trailers for it looked so good, and I was really excited for this. And this looked like just an action-packed, fun, crazy show, and I just don't think it delivered that. I like the villain. I thought Sam Jackson did a great job, but I just don't know if the story it told was that good. And yeah, it's kind of forgettable. I'm not going to say a waste of time, but I guess it got better after the first two episodes. I mean, I could have stopped watching after the second episode, honestly, but then I thought it did pick up in episode 3 and 4, but then I don't know, it just kind of fell flat. And so not a great one. Another rather disappointing Marvel TV show. They've been very hit and miss for me, honestly. I either really like them or am really meh about them. Sometimes I hate them, like Falcon Winter Soldier. That was just bad. I would put this on that level, honestly. I guess hate is a strong word, but just blah. So, yeah, it's a shame because they did waste some good actors in it. And I don't know what could have saved it. You know they can't have the superheroes in it, but boy, would it have been cool if that last episode somehow they could have got a few of the movie people to show up or something just to make it bigger and make it an event. Would that have been like a sellout or a cheap way to end a series? I don't care. That would have made it better. So, yeah, it's a little disappointing, but what are you going to do? There's another trailer coming up I'll talk about that looks pretty good in the old Marvel TV direction. But first, let's move on to everybody's favorite, sports ball. And of course, we'll talk golf first. Lee Hodges won his first PGA Tour event with a 24 under at the 3M Open, and he won by 7 strokes. And yeah, it wasn't exciting, and it wasn't that close. I think the guy behind him got to like 3 back at one point. They call this a wire-to-wire victory. I didn't look that up, but I assume that means he led from the first day on through the fourth and won the tournament. Let's call it that. But I guess the drama, if you could say that, was on the last hole where the guy was 3 back and he went for it and hit it into the water. Actually, he went for the green in 2 to try and get an eagle and then force because the leader, Hodges, he was playing safe. I would too. He was just going up the fairway. He was going to, hit 2 shots up the fairway and put it on the green and 2 putt for a par and win by 3 strokes. Well, this guy had to go for an eagle, and his first shot went in the rough, which was bad. And it was really a bad lie below his feet, but he hit it over the water going for the green and hit a rock and it had a crazy bounce onto the 3M. They had built like a little 3M floaty device in the middle of the water, hit off of that, and then went in the water. And so that was pretty much it. The guy actually ended up triple bogeying the hole. and dropped from second to third, even though he was like two up on the guys in third. So he probably lost upwards of $1 million because he went for it. I applaud him for going for it, but I don't applaud him for sucking on his next approach shot and three putting because it was pretty bad. So he kind of choked either way. But it wasn't that great of a tournament. I didn't see much of it. All three of my bets lost. Two of my guys that I took didn't even make the cut. That's always great. And the other guy finished in like 30th, and I had him for top 20. And now my betting app is gone. FoxBet is closing down. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Apparently the people that own the site also own FanDuel, and I think I have an account in FanDuel from long ago, so maybe I'll dig into that, or maybe they'll kind of switch it over to that. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll keep you posted. I was going to start posting who I pick before the tournaments start, but I don't. Well, now I can't, because I'm not picking anybody either. I'll still watch, because I just enjoy watching it, but it's always fun to have a buck or so, a buck or three, on a few of the guys just to make it a little interesting. So that's done for the time being, but we will see what happens next week. I'll get to that in a sec. Also in sports ball, the U.S. team avoids elimination in a 0-0 draw. Exciting, isn't it? Versus Portugal.
Welcome to all things
wait,
Scottish.
That's not our it. Slogan. This is what I wanted. Yes, a 0-0 draw in footy soccer. So the ladies advance to the knockout round. It's a 16, so you lose, you're out. And this is Women's World Cup. I haven't seen a second of it. Again, I would watch it if it was on TV and I was sitting there, but it's not something I seek out. So I hope they win. It seems like they're not too concerned, but fans are, of course, upset and like, geez, you almost lost because you couldn't score one goal. What's going on here? We're supposed to be really good. So, okay, enough of that. Yeah, we'll see. Moving on to trailers, and I alluded to this earlier, Loki season 2 trailer dropped, and my first thing was, like, hey, Ke Huy Quan? Is that how you say it? A short round? He's in it, which is cool. And it's kind of funny, too, because he's coming off his Oscar win for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is very much a multiversal type of movie. And that's kind of what this show is, too. So it looks like Loki's getting pulled through time against his will or doesn't know why it's happening. It looks good. I'm not a big fan of the first season. I've said that many times. But there's a lot going on. I think it could be good. I like Hiddleston as Loki. Owen Wilson, wow, he's great. I just don't know. I just didn't dig that first season. Maybe it was a little too much, a little too out there. I hope they dial it back a bit. Saw the guy who was in the baddie in God, and they're setting him up. He was the baddie in Ant-Man, Quantumania, Kang. And I think they set him up at the beginning of, or end of the first season of Loki as well, I believe. So, yeah, it looks like he's in it again, and wackiness ensues. This comes out October 6th on, of course, Disney Plus. That's the only trailer I saw. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, I guess that maybe they're keeping things under their vest. I'm sure there's more out there, but nothing that really interested me. So, I don't really talk about things that don't. Other than soccer. Ooh, sick burn. Anyway, moving on. Nerd news. And again, it's just I just have one bit of nerd news. It's another comic bit of news. Marvel Comics announcing Howard the Duck 50th anniversary special one-shot. And it's going to be a what if. And it's going to be by Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones, who collaborated on Howard for a 15-issue run, maybe 11 to 15, somewhere in there. Actually had a couple of those, and it wasn't that bad. But, if you like Howard the Duck, and who doesn't, you might want to check that out. Just a one-shot. And what if? I forget what the what if is. I don't know if they actually spelled that out in the article. But anyway, Moving on to coming soon this week, we have the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro, North Carolina for the PGA event. And I saw a list of favorites or power rankings for some guys. I knew some of them, but it looks like it's another scrub tournament, which the last one was. So I don't know if people are still vacationing after the British Open, but it seems that way. I didn't see a lot of familiar faces, or maybe they're just talking about some new guys in the article. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like a big event. Although we're getting close to the end of the year and people are trying to get FedEx Cup points to stay in the race for the $10 million purse in that. So I don't know, maybe some guys will show up. Also coming soon, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming August 2nd as of this recording, and probably, well, it's tomorrow, probably as of this posting it will be today, because I don't see myself editing this yet, or soon, I should say, or today even. And that's on Disney Plus, if I didn't mention. I haven't seen it yet, looking forward to it. That seems like it's going to be maybe a weekend movie. Me and Peacock can watch that. And also, coming August 3rd on Peacock, the Super Mario Brothers movie, which I do want to see. It made a buttload of money. I heard a lot of good things about it. I am a big Super Mario Brothers fan. It seems to do a lot of fan service if you've played the games. So, yeah, I am looking forward to seeing that too. Hopefully we can knock both of those out this weekend. And that is about it. Quick show. I put out the Patreon episode yesterday, 2 days ago. And there's more news and stuff on that, although that's probably dated. But anyway, if you like Ghostbusters 2, check that out at patreon.com/besottedgeek. And you can follow me on X at besottedgeekpod. So stupid, X. Email us, besottedgeek@gmail.com. Check out our website, besottedgeek.com. Get some traffic on there. A lot of people like the Raiders of the Lost Ark drink, I think just because Indiana Jones came out recently. But I do have a backlog of cocktails I need to put up there, so maybe I'll try and do that this week. We shall see. We have a store, tpublic.com/user/besottedgeek. I need to make a new logo, too. Maybe I'll throw it up on tpublic, but it's kind of a pain, so we'll see. I'm going to try and do a Ghostbuster logo. I don't know how I'm going to do that. The lazy man in me, which is 95%, says just take the logo and put a big red circle with the bar going across it over it. That's close enough, right? But the artiste in me says, no, just do the logo, put on a jumpsuit, maybe even a little patch that says Stork on it. Wouldn't that be cool? And a proton pack on the back. Yeah. So we'll maybe I'll do both. Who knows? Anyway, that should about do it. Oh, twitch.tv/besottedgeek. I'm never on there. And did I mention patreon.com/besottedgeek? I'm not sure if I did. So that should do it now. Have a good rest of your week, and I will talk to you later. Bye.